Greetings, Saints, and welcome to the Massage Branch Prophecy Hour. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is September 3rd, 2020, and our guest is waiting. Kenneth Updegrove of Barkhaven Ministries has been on with us many times over the years. After hearing his interviews, people went to the Cetus land, where he was led to a land that Corey Tembus Boom saw a vision of angels protecting the land. Even the CIA had said this land was one of the safest places in the world, and he had always said it's a safe place of refuge for the future. But now it looks like the future may just be here because the whole thing is exploding at a very fast rate. Could it be because of the coronavirus or all of the civil unrest? Well, you know what? Glenn Beck even came out and said things have changed. People feel it. The prophetic times have unfolded and all the exit doors have been passed, so things are going forward. When people in major cities are leaving in droves, they're looking for a place to be. But this is from Ken Site, Arkhaven. Our vision is to prepare Christians physically, mentally, and especially spiritually for these prophetic and tumultuous end times. Thousands are coming to the Ozark Mountains, the safest place on earth, in Arkansas and Missouri every month. Our intentional neighbors concept will allow Christians to own adjacent land and provide mutual aid to our neighbors we jointly bought or rented land with. God is calling multitudes of Christian preppers to the Ozarks to prepare for this time of social, economic, and spiritual breakdown of American society. In these end times, learn spiritual lessons on why and how to prepare. The where to prepare is the Ozarks, and the when to prepare, folks, is really right now, like last year. So tonight, an update from Kenneth Updegrove. Welcome, Kenneth. Are you there with me?
Yes, I am, and thank you so much, brother. Thank you so much.
Well, amen. Well, I'm really glad and overjoyed to have you back on because, you know, for one, you know, you didn't really feel like coming back on until you had an update, but you know, before we get into the great news that you have tonight, and for the record, I've even been bothered by some people on Facebook that are all looking for places to be, and they're tuning in tonight to listen to this. But first,
Lord, thank you.
Yeah, amen. Yeah, I'm really excited because, you know, I have known, you know, I've been in the prophecy world since the middle 90s, early 90s, and I've always known that there were people preparing places and doing things, and then I came across you, and of course, you've been on here a lot of times. But now, with things the way they are, it seems like we've moved forward prophetically, but people are really looking to find places. So what was the original vision? What brought you here anyway? Give us a little bit of your story, because we've got, like I say, people that haven't heard you before.
All right. Thank you. In 1971, I was in the first church I'd ever been in that was the priest of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I didn't even know there was such a thing. I just vaguely knew the word. But I came into that experience in 1965. And under that teaching, I began to learn that all Christians had a calling, a ministry, if you will. And so I went out and prayed every night until finally the Lord told me what my commission and calling was. That was 1971, and I've been true to that calling ever since. Nobody believed me, 71, 81, 91. The Christians began to come on the scene in the 2000s. And now, just slightly overwhelming. My website's been up 20 years. And now suddenly, I have had a rush of people coming to me like never before. And people are leaving a lot of these, I guess you call them blue cities or blue states. It's just really remarkable how many people are, as you said, are leaving these big cities like New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, San Diego, San Francisco, and other places. People are coming from virtually all the states. It's just been amazing to me. What really made the big change was when the Lord used me to introduce two brothers that started the Christian community that we're now part of.
Okay, let me break in. Before we go into that, let's dial back. Okay, now you believe that I mentioned Corey Ten Boom and that this was a safe place, and it's even been called the safest place on earth. So why here? Yeah. Tell us a little bit about that. Why should people want to come to the Ozarks? Why?
There's been a number of places in the United States that have been declared safe zones or safe areas, or Goshen type places. One man, Skousen, I think his name was, wrote a book on the subject, but of all the places that he investigated and did a lot of research on, the place that he and unanimously everybody else agrees is the safest of the safe places is the Ozark Mountains. At least a big part of it, and the reason being is that the Ozark Mountains are actually a plateau, a particularly significant form of geology. It is a huge chunk of rock that's 200 miles deep and sits on the bedrock of the earth, and it's 200 miles across of the plateaus in the world. This is the biggest one, but on top of that is 500 miles or something like that from any coastline. And so it's a particularly safe, more so for the, in any aspect you can think of on earth. And spiritually speaking, there's been so many prophecies over it. And as you mentioned, Corey Pittendon is given credit for two different visions that she had. One was at Eureka Springs at Passion Play, the world famous Passion Play, when she was just out in the pasture with the founder, surveying the place, and also when she was in flight in a private plane, when just looking down below, she noticed a ring of fire, and both of these told her that this is a divinely protected area, but the Lord has also told me that Green Island, the survival. First time I came into the area, that's what the Lord told me. I was, what started this whole thing, coming to the Ozarks in 1983. The Lord told me to move to Northwest Arkansas. Didn't know anybody here, didn't have a reason in the world to come, but I felt a calling. So I made several trips to confirm it, so that the Holy Spirit could confirm it in my spirit one way or the other, and it was overwhelmingly yes every time I come in. But the first time I came in, I was driving on Highway 62 from Eureka Springs into Rogers when I had to stop my car. I was so overwhelmed by the Holy Spirit, and I was told that this is a Green Island of survival, and that term has sort of caught on. Because I was first with the Moses with the website and so on. Some of my sayings are catching on. But even then,
I'm sorry I interrupted you. You began to run into who?
Other people who were called here, that they knew that God called them here. But it began that there wasn't anybody who had the land or the money to put anything together. We all wanted to do it, a whole lot of us, but we couldn't because we didn't have the money to buy the land, the money to buy the equipment, and so on. So when the Lord pardon me, gave me the opportunity to introduce these two men together, one from Texas on the Mexican border, one in Branson, when these men met and I introduced them to each other, within hours they agreed to just, let's start this Christian community. They shook hands and they started it. And that,
okay,
was April of this year.
Okay, let me jump in. I'm just trying to take this in stages. I want to make sure everybody's clear on this. But I'm gonna just kind of go backwards a little bit. So you came in there in 1983 or roughly there around, set, and you waited all these years faithfully to do this. And you know, the Father does test our faith and see if we're worthy of these things. But you know, you've been trying to promote this community idea for quite some time, and so then now
50
all
years.
How many?
50.
That's faithful. Yeah. Amen. That's biblical. So, you know, so here's the point. So then, folks, now, so he faithfully waited there for this vision. And, you know, it's just proper timing. The Father puts us in places and things. You may be someplace that the Father moved you a long time ago, and you don't know why, and you can't figure it out, but he told you to be there, and you're being faithful. But here we go. We're going into Ken's story. So then now, how do you're talking about introducing two people. How did these two people meet? I mean, how did you come out of, you know, introduce?
They both had found my website. One of them, his wife had been looking at my website for a couple of years, but when Springmeyer, I'll think of Springmeyer's first name in a minute, he called me one day and asked if he could interview me to write an article. I said, by all means. But at any rate, he has quite a lot of listeners. So this lady in Branson read his article. And at that time, then she called me, and then she introduced me to her husband. And so that's how that started. This brother in Texas, he's a Mexican. Well, precious brother, he contacted me and he says, who can you put me in touch with, Ken, to get something started? And I said, well, I know this brother in Branson. Let me introduce you to. So he drove all the way from Texas, picked me up on the way over to Branson, and we went to meet this brother. And like I say, in the course of that evening, one evening, they shook hands and said, let's do this. And
wow.
That was, so this is when finally we had men with the vision who also had the money to start this thing. And they were both totally committed to losing and risking all, putting everything on the line to do this. So it wasn't comfortable for either one of them. It was, matter of fact, quite uncomfortable because, if you will, they were risking all of their finances on this, working or not working. And it really took God to bless this and make it really work. But they both, their hearts were right, their attitudes were right, and the Lord really blessed it. I had nothing to do with it, but they did it all.
Well, amen. That's your humbleness, but the Father did use you. He put you there, your persistence, you had the website, you brought the men together. The Father used you. We won't discount what you did in this at all, whatsoever. And I appreciate your humbleness, and I'm sure the Father does too, because that's who you are, Ken. So let's go on. So what is it they started? You know, a Christian community? What is it? What is this intentional neighbor concept? You know, what are they doing? I mean, you know, is one person ruling the whole thing, or what's the story? Tell us.
I have studied Christian communities and communities of all sorts for a lot of years, and found what worked and what didn't work. And so I came up with the concept of intentional neighbor. I shouldn't put it that way. The Lord inspired me with the idea and helped me develop it. But the concept is that we are developing a housing development, if you will. Christians bought the land, and then the Christians are inviting mature Christians with this end time prepper understanding that we're preparing for the end times and, if you will, the tribulation. And so this is how it all comes together. The idea is that we're inviting people who have this vision and see this need to deliberately want to live next door to other Christians so that we can all be like-minded and work together to accomplish this end time purpose. And so that's what's totally unique about this Christian community. Everybody owns their own land. They're the master of their own household.
Yeah. Amen. And, you know, firsthand, believe me, I have seen, I don't know what communities that were like Jim Jones type things and visited them and so on and so forth. And you get one independent person in charge. But what you're talking about, I like this intentional neighbor, is people are still the captain of their own ship and so on and so forth. So intentionally living next to each other. So how does it work? Let's say that I wanted to be part of this, you know, which, amen, but let's say somebody wanted to be part of it. What would that concept mean? They come there, they buy a piece of land, they have a house, or what's that part of the story?
They can buy land and build a house on it. In fact, they can build several houses and rent the others out. So we therefore have room for renters, people who can't buy but can rent, and these are they're proving to be very valuable people to our community. The idea is that we're going to have community land and community buildings, community business. We're going to have a community center, a big building, which will serve a lot of purposes, like, for instance, homeschooling and meetings and church services, and lectures, and also a dining room, living room, so any crew that's working the place can come to this community building, and the cooks will cook for them, and believe me, we've got some chefs that are coming aboard with us, so we don't just have everyday cooks. We've got actually accomplished chefs cooking, but need this community building, and then we'll have a greenhouse, a large one, where we will be growing food around the winter time all year round. And we will have a lot of cattle. We're going to buy 30 cattle right away here. And we've got 70 chickens in an incubator to produce 24 at a time. And we have 7 goats at the moment. We want a whole lot more. I'm not sure what else we will have. One thing is just kind of cute. We discovered a fawn out in the meadow that had been abandoned by his mother, and he's doing very well on goat's milk, and he thinks he's a dog or something. He goes out and plays in the yard with the kids and the dogs, and they're all scampering about, and you want to lecture him. He says, "Hey, guy, you spotted little critter? You are wild, don't you know that?" But we see that also with turkeys. Turkeys will come into the yard to scratch with the chickens. The dog on this thing.
Okay, so now it sounds like this thing's coming together. So it started off with these two brothers. Are there other people that are trying to buy land there? Or, you know, tell us some more about it for the people.
All right. For years, people wrote to me, called me, even came to visit me, saying I want to be in Christian community. And I said, okay, I'll make a list. And so the time came to write an email and call all these people and say, hey, we're finally ready. We're finally ready. And then out of that list came a lot of people. Then I began to put it in my emails and website and so on. And a lot more came. At this point, from the day that we announced that we are receiving Christian people to buy land or rent land and come aboard with us in a two-month period, the 345 acres that we had, virtually every bit of it, or just about, just down to a very small amount left that's still available. So it was absolute landslide. It was a miracle that was awful hard to believe that after 50 years of no activity, suddenly
to
be bombarded like this, that it had to be that. It has to be the right time in history. And once again, it wasn't because I'm given credit for being a great merchandiser. I'm not a merchandiser. I'm a minister who some people claim the word of God. Hey, we're in the last days. Hey, it's time to prepare spiritually and physically, and you better really understand preparing mentally, because we're coming in to a time that's going to be stressful. And that I keep hearing all the time from a lot of people. But, man, you ought to hear the enthusiasm. People are so excited.
Really?
Amazing.
I'm amazed.
It's really fun after all these years.
I'm amazed. But it just shows the Father's timing, Ken. I mean, you know, come on. But look at your faithfulness. You've been sitting here for 50 years doing the same thing. Okay, I know I'm supposed to do this. I know I'm supposed to do it. That's faithfulness. And it's, you know, we are supposed to use faith in the last days, but that's incredible. And so I bet you're just really overjoyed. How is your wife taking all this?
She, for a change, has real confidence that this really is happening. you know, we've seen so many disappointments in our life, but this is coming through so well. So, and other things that are happening, I'll have to tell you off the air, that are happening, that the Lord is suddenly opening doors on a level that is just astonishing to me. I think that my kind of ministry, yours too, and so many others, the Lord has to break us and keep us humble and dependent on Him. And you and I are the type that the Lord uses for things like this. But it can sure seem like a long time in coming. I'm 83 and pushing 84. And so it just seems like, boy, Lord, I wish I was 20 years younger, is what the trouble is. I would not have had all of that experience, not all of those hardships. I wouldn't have had all that training and preparation to prepare me for this time to minister to all these people. I am slightly humbled and overwhelmed.
Amen. But what a statement. And that's a fact. There are so many things that, you know, He puts us through, allows us to go through, so that we'll get better through all of them, because inevitability, you know, we may think when we're younger, hey, I'm ready to do this. He goes, not at all. Not at all. I love you, but not at all. You know what I'm saying, Ken? Back to you.
Yeah, I run into that too. All the people who are coming to me, a lot of them have gone through a lot of breaking, a lot of hardship, a lot of training. Some of them are so broke that it's hard to find a place for them. But I was telling my guys, listen, guys, we kind of have to understand that some of the people God is sending us are the ministry people and not the growers, or they're not the money people. But they will be critical to this ministry. They're coming in an RV. They're going to live in an RV. But they're there, and they will minister on a level that none of us can. We need them. And
wow.
My guys are seeing that and bringing them aboard. And despite that, the people with the money who can afford the land and build on it have also come. And they're of every race, religion, and language you can think of. That's the other amazing thing.
Wow. I'm almost
flabbergasted. Mexicans, it's just amazing.
Wow. I'm almost anyway, blown away from with this, Ken. Wow, it's beyond words. But this signals, as I've been trying to tell the folks, that, you know, something happened, you know, when 2020 came, you know, you could just feel it beyond COVID, or so much other. Do you feel that there was a big change other than, you understand what I'm saying? How do you feel?
One of the things that I'm emphasizing is people keep coming to me with all the prophecies and predictions and expectations, but I am really keeping my eyes off of that. I am keeping my eye on what God is having me do, and how the Lord is using me to put these people together for this this thing. I really believe that we started one, but we will start more. That since well, there's such a need must be on what we're doing. So I'm trusting that the Lord, and I really feel that He's told me that we're going to start a lot of communities. Maybe several in the Ozarks and maybe several other places. But there's such a big need.
Amen. How does this situate, you know, to a lot of people that say, well, you know, well, how is this, you guys bought land, but there's people around it. How are the people around it? Are you being accepted? I mean, you know, is that going to be, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, we have met them all now. They're in that area, all there is ranches, real large ones, 1,000-acre type ranches. We're completely surrounded on every side by large ranches. We know all of the people, and most of them are Christians, but they all are receiving us with open arms and being of assistance. One man on the road spies and sells used heavy equipment, and we needed a bulldozer, we needed a backhoe, we needed all kinds of heavy equipment. Put in roads and put in prepare spots
right.
To build houses on, et cetera, et cetera. And he has provided us with very good equipment at very low prices, and he's real glad to do it. You know, he's been a real blessing. And that sort of thing has happened in other areas, too. People just happen to have a huge stack of some building equipment that we needed, and it wasn't being used for anything else. It was kind of a clutter, and they sold it to us on unbelievably low prices. The man who sold us the goats, he's, I don't know how many goats he's got, a couple hundred, but he really knows the business. He's right on the road, and he is showing us how to raise goats right, you know. So we're just being blessed by the neighbors in a way that's slightly astonishing. So I can't think of a thing to announce that is not going well.
Wow. All of that coming together. So the Father's hands in it. But you know why this is? Here's one of the reasons why it's so encouraging to me. And like I said, you know, I started in the, you know, with, you know, helping out other ministries back in the early 90s. Well, specifically, I started helping out the Prophecy Club, and it hooked me up with people all over the country, and with people that I used for radio guests later when I started radio and I started a newsletter. But my point is this. I've been hearing out of people that were called out way back then, you know, to go and prepare places or get ready and do these things. But, you know, it just seemed like, okay, endless, you know. You had to have a lot of faith to stay in with it, and a lot of faith, and we just kept waiting and, you know, waiting and waiting. And then now you tell me what's happening there, and it's just like an explosion. That's confirmation. That's a huge confirmation in what I've been waiting for.
That.
Yeah, I mean, it takes words out of my mouth. Absolutely. And the people around you are being helpful. I don't know, fantastic. Let's go with this. You say there's people of different faiths. What do you mean? You know, not everybody believes the same, and they get along. That's amazing. Back to you.
Yes, we're finding that there's some diversity in doctrinal backgrounds, but the one thing they all have in common is that they're either post-tribulation or pre-wrath, which are two very related eschatology. And so because they believe that we're in the latter last days, we're about to go into the tribulation. And I don't know how many years, but it's close. So they all have this in common. and they all understand that they desperately need each other, that despite the diversity in doctrines and cultures and languages, let that step aside. We know we're not complete in ourselves. We know that this is not a time to have a lone wolf operation. They
right.
have to have others. And so that unites us in a way that will overcome the differences in doctrinal views. But even there, they can have their own home fellowships in their own house with people of the same views.
Right.
And we have a community building, and we can use it for church services, but there will be no demand on everybody being there. They are still free agents to practice their faith according to the
way heart.
They are led.
Yeah.
But they will also commit themselves to working in the greenhouse with the cattle, with the chickens, and anything else that's got going on in the farm operation. The objective is to raise more than we need so that we can give it away, we can sell it to the whatever.
Right,
the
right.
surrounding community. But with our business is actually in producing food and everything we need anyhow. So if and when we go off the grid, we are self-sufficient. We've got everything we need right there to take care of us. And so every angle of it has been thought out and prayed over. And we've got the people coming in with the skills that are blowing me away, the skills that we need to do all these things. That's also amazing. We needed builders who are also part of the community.
Right.
Here we are with no buildings. So we put in RV pads, I think 6 or 8. And some of these builders are coming in with their own RV or their own trailer house. And we also have ours that we're providing. At any rate, we got crew on location working. And until they build their own house, then they can get out of the RV and move into their own house.
Right.
But all of this sort of thing just come together also. Just amazing. I'm averaging from 1 to 3 people a day coming to me wanting to do this.
Really?
And are able to do this. And be
wow.
qualified to do it.
So, okay, now there's a thing. Do you screen them at all? I mean, I know they have different beliefs, but is there some way that you kind of, you know, you got to feel the person out, or you know what I'm saying?
I screen them first. They call me or email me, but I want to talk to them on the phone. After this many years, I really can judge people, and they really will open up their hearts and really be honest with me. And I can tell pretty quickly whether they are going to fit, if they're going to work. And then I turn them over to our landman, our major investor. And he has also got many years of experience with dealing with people. And by the time we both have vetted the people, we've come up with an awful lot of great finds, just
right.
great blessings. People who are going to really make this work.
Wow. I am so really, really impressed. I mean, you know, usually I'm like right on with the 200 questions, but I'm just really impressed. So that makes them intentional neighbors, you know. I really like the concept because, like I said, I've seen lots of communities, and you don't want to live there, you know, because you got one guy. Most of the time it ends up being one person in charge, and everybody has to do this or that, or, you know, and there's some that are a blessing, but they're few and far in between. And for the real, most of them fail. But this sounds like a great concept. Sounds like you're overwhelmed. Back to you.
Yeah, it's been overwhelming, and it now is quite a project ahead of us to get done. Some people are concerned about the time, and so I think I've already said that. September, just not enough time. We should have started 2 or 3 years ago. Well, what we have here is God started it now. So therefore, there will be time now to accomplish this, at least here in the Ozarks. Maybe not other places, but here, hidden out there in the Mbao Hills and the Ozarks, we will have time to put this together, and we will be able to bring in a lot of people. Then the next concept is we're going to reach out to all the local little bitty towns, you know, 1,500, 500 populations, and we will minister in those towns. Almost always there's a town square where people are selling their wares. And we've got all kinds of skills amongst our people, and also we will have eggs, tons of eggs, and vegetables, fruit, nuts, and so on to sell in the square. And there we'll be there meeting the people and praying for them. And also, we can actually build, I don't know, cabins, maybe a hotel, a motel type thing where we can house people, especially when times really get rough and people are really abandoning the cities. And actually make it there. We want to be able to minister there, and they don't have to be Christians. In that setting, we can take care of people.
Okay, let me ask you this. We've got about 4 minutes left, so let me ask you this. So let's say somebody hears you tonight, and they think, well, you know, I've been praying about this, and I've been wanting to do something like this. So do you still have room? Should they contact you, or are you full up?
We will. We still have some room, and so it'll be first come, first serve. But when we are full, then it's time for us to branch out and start another community. pardon me. We will be dependent on the Lord to bring the people and resources to put the next one together. The Lord told me this years ago, and so I know that'll happen also. So, they should contact me right away.
Yeah, amen.
And, may I get my phone number?
You can give your phone number or direct them to your website, or both, whatever you want to do. Your time, you got about 3 minutes.
My website is arkhaven, arkhaven.org, and on there you'll see one of the menu items is join our community. Another one is contact us, a big blue tag saying contact us. Go there and you'll find my name and my phone number and the ability to email me. So that'll make it real easy for anybody to contact me, and I'd be glad to talk to them.
Yeah, amen.
And a couple, 3 hours a day talking to people.
Well, give me a second before I say goodbye or anything. I want to relate this to the people. Okay, folks, that's arkhaven.org. And if you can't find it for some strange reason, you get a hold of me and I'll put you in touch. But it's Arkhaven Ministries in Arkansas, USA, and it's he has a Hotmail up there if you like to use email. He has a form that you can fill out and submit. Now, by the way, I really like this website, Ken. And he has his phone number right there where you can get a hold of him. So there's nothing hidden. You can get a hold of him. And, folks, you should go back through our archives and listen to some of the past programs. But I'm back. Ken, I can't wait to later this evening when I get off the air. I'm just going to praise the Father because this is such a confirmation to me because you waited so long and you've been so faithful, and it shows. It should show a lot of other people of faith that, hey, you know, it's the Father's timing and not ours. And I like that last thing that you said. Yeah, there's going to be time to finish this community because this is when the Father started it. Back to you. Got about a minute and a half.
Okay. Well, we need so many people out there that are listening. We need their services, their calling, their vision to add to our own. I said earlier that we have well, people of several different races, I shouldn't say what they are, and several different languages, I shouldn't say what they are. But we have, allow diversity. Some of our people are Pentecostal, some of them are Messianic, and most of them are a combination of Messianic and Pentecostal. A lot of them have came out of Mennonite and Amish backgrounds before coming into the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so we have that kind of diversity there, and that will hopefully encourage you who are listening to this. And yes, we would like to talk to you. We would like to see you.
Amen.
The Lord's calling you. We want to welcome you.
All right. Well, Ken, I'm going to let you go. And we'll talk again and keep in contact. But praise the Father. I'm going to try and pray in a trip out there if it's okay with you folks, just because I want to see what's going on with my own eyes. We'll talk again, Ken. I'm going to have to let you go. Okay, brother?
All right. Well, thank you so much, brother. Shalom.
All right. Goodbye and shalom, Ken. Tell your wife hi.
I sure will. Yeah, likewise.
Okay. All right. You be blessed. Well, folks, that was Ken Updegrove, and we've been talking to him a lot over the years, and he's been faithful, and he's stuck to it, and then all of a sudden the Father exploded this thing. And right now, and that tells you about the timing, and that's also some things that I have been saying. I don't believe America's time's up yet. Well, we're going to go through some terrible tribulation in this country. There are some better places to be at. You need to pray about it. If you feel led to, call Ken. Get a hold of him through his website, arkhaven.org. Also, though, really do need you to pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church and Messiah's Branch, period, because we do talk radio, the website, prophecyhour.com. If you go over there, you can find all the latest breaking news, and we're fixing to, I'm praying in to get an update for the website. I really need some work, on the website. That's what I need. Not on that particular one, but to give us a new one. So pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church any way that you can, whether it's through prayers, sharing the radio programs, or whatever you can do. So, folks, remember, there is only one true God. He is your Father. He's a God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repented sins, and he rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Folks, remember, always, always, always be a blessing to others. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's praying for Yeshua's return. And even the Bible tells us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Lord our God, Father, King, universe, asking Yeshua HaMashiach's name, that Father, you would please bless and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them, and that you would be gracious to them, and give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Till next week, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street.